I'm going to ask you to turn in your pew Bible to page 821, and in the large print Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, to page 1066. I'm going to read from Habakkuk 1:1-4, and 2:1-4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw, the prophet's complaint. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to your violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. And Habakkuk 2. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he'll answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks to the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And if you'll turn in the back of your hymnal to page 843. We are going to recite together Psalms 119, 137 to 144. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your judgments. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness, in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are in my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and verses 11 through 12. It can be found on page 194 in your New Testament Pew Bible, or on page 251 in the large print Bible. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of everyone of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, turn to the New Testament, and you'll find this passage on page 77. If you're looking at the large print Bible, you'll find it on page 100 in the New Testament. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My hope is that you will agree with me that this story of Zacchaeus is a terrific Bible lesson. A story that has been told and celebrated in Sunday school classes throughout many generations. It's possible, maybe even likely, that you first heard this story when you were a little person in a Sunday school class, maybe many years ago. The challenge with Bible stories like this one is that people often get caught up in the memories of learning and sharing this story, and then we might miss the nuanced meaning of the story itself. As I said, this is likely a familiar story for you. We know three things about this man, Zacchaeus. He is a chief tax collector in Jericho. He is rich. And he is short in stature. But none of that seems to matter to Jesus. What seems important to Jesus is that Zacchaeus is a sinner in need of salvation and the recognition that he too is a son of Abraham. Jesus states very clearly his motive in this situation. It's also the motive behind his entire earthly ministry. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. We get a further understanding of just who Zacchaeus is by listening to the reaction of the crowd when Jesus announces that he will be staying at the house of Zacchaeus today. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." It seems that everybody in Jericho knew about Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in that city and was pretty much above the law. He collected the taxes for the Roman Empire, but then he could add whatever extra tax he thought the market could bear. If he didn't like you, he could clearly ruin you financially. Well, because of his malfeasance, he'd become very rich and very much hated by many people in Jericho. Look closely at his response when he repents to Jesus. He says, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Clearly, only a very rich man would be able to provide such substantial restitution. Well, this guy was known far and wide as a crook and a sinner, but that was the accepted reality of that time. The general take-home message from this story is the recognition of the radical love of Jesus Christ in seeking out and saving all sorts of sinners. We're also reminded that we, too, ought to demonstrate God's love in our interactions with the sinners in our lives. We ought not to be quite so quick to judge other people. But you know, something else struck me this week as I was thinking about and praying about this Bible passage. The way we usually visualize this story is from the street level, looking up into that sycamore tree at Zacchaeus. What would it be like to consider this story from the perspective of Zacchaeus? Well, I was pleased to find just that graphic perspective this week when I Googled the story. I want you to take a closer look at the bulletin cover. This is the view from that sycamore tree. Do you see in yourself, any small resemblance to Zacchaeus? Let's consider that. Okay, so you're probably not a chief tax collector, and you may or may not be rich, and you may or may not be small in stature. But are you a sinner? Have you fallen short of God's call to love and serve your neighbor? Can you imagine this perspective of Zacchaeus? Think about his life situation. He certainly understood that he was hated and despised by many people in his town, and he certainly must have recognized that his way of making a living was certainly not what a pious Jew should have been doing. But oh, how he loved that money. The money and the wonderful food and drink it bought, and the beautiful big house it afforded him, and the fact that he was respected as a powerful man in Jericho. He could provide for his family everything they needed now, and he could certainly also ensure for them a secure future too. Scripture doesn't tell us much about Zacchaeus, but I kind of envision him as an older gentleman to have attained such a position of power with the Roman authorities. And because I would guess that he really liked fine wine and food, I imagine that he was a rather portly little man. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. Just like most everybody else in Jericho, Zacchaeus had heard about this teacher from Nazareth who was performing signs and miracles, and Zacchaeus wanted to see for himself what all the fuss was about. But how about running down the street ahead of the crowd and climbing that tree? Think about the difficulty and maybe even the embarrassment you might encounter in climbing up into a sycamore tree. What would the people around you say as you shimmied up into the upper branches of that tree? But it was that important to Zacchaeus to get a good look at this man who many were saying was the Messiah. And so it was worth the effort and the lost breath and possible embarrassment and ridicule from the crowd. You can imagine the shock and the flattery that he must have felt when Jesus called up to him in that tree, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. Zacchaeus clearly understood. He got it, the gravity of this situation and the fact that Jesus was offering him mercy and forgiveness and absolution. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, as if anybody questioned that, I will pay back four times as much." And so I ask you again, do you see in yourself any small resemblance to Zacchaeus? You probably know it in your head, but do you know it and feel it in your heart that Jesus is right now actively seeking you out in order to offer you salvation and eternal life? Are you ready to run down the street and climb that sycamore tree? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to avail yourself of Jesus' love and the Holy Spirit, no matter the effort or lost breath or possible embarrassment or ridicule? Are you willing to read and study the Bible every day, to pray on a regular basis, to attend weekly worship services and accept the sacramental gift of Holy Communion at every opportunity? And when Jesus calls you by name, as He is surely doing today, are you ready to ask forgiveness for your sins and repent in order to lead a new life? Are you ready to recognize that the money in your purse or your wallet or your bank account came from God and rightly belongs to God? Are you ready to joyfully and freely give back that tithe, that 10% of your money, back to God's important ministries in this church? Think about it. Pray about it. Do you see in yourself any small resemblance to Zacchaeus? Now, listen with your head and with your heart. Jesus is saying something vitally important to you. Today, salvation has come to your house because you too are a child of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost, like you and me and Zacchaeus. It's time to come down from that sycamore tree. Jesus is calling. Amen.